All right, it's good to see everyone this morning. Thanks for coming out and being a part of our service today. I want to just take a moment and recognize my three sisters. They're here from Anadarko, and they've come to be with us today. Today, we're celebrating our mother's birthday. She's home with the Lord now, but we'll have lunch together and have good memories to share with each other. So it's a blessing to have them with us today. If you have your Bibles and want to follow along, I'm going to turn back to some passages that are probably very familiar to us over in the Gospel according to Mark. Mark chapter 14 and verse number 22. Today we're going to gather at the table of the Lord, and we try to participate as a church body in the Lord's Supper several times in a year, and usually on a fifth Sunday. So today is the fifth Sunday, and so we are going to celebrate the Lord's Supper this morning. It is sure good to see Alan Shirley this morning. Good to see you today. Amen. Amen. Good to see you. And also Breeze. It's good to see Breeze today. Amen. Lord's good. Amen. Thanks for being with us today. Yeah, amen. Mark chapter 14, I want you to drop down to verse number 22. I want to give us some of the ideas and the concepts, the truth around the table of the Lord. Notice with me in verse number 22, Mark chapter 14, and it says, as they were eating, that Jesus took bread, he blessed and broke it and gave it to them and said, take it, this is my body. And then he took a cup after giving thanks and he gave it to them, so they all drank from it. And he said to them, this is my blood that establishes the covenant, and it is shed for many. I assure you, I will no longer drink of the fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it anew, in a new way, in the kingdom of God. And then singing psalms, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Now, let me just spend a little bit of time setting the context here of what we know as the Lord's Supper. The context is that evening before Jesus goes to the cross on Friday, that Thursday evening, Jesus brings his 12 disciples together in a place that we know in the Bible is the upper room. And it was there in the upper room, remember, that Jesus is there with his disciples, and they are participating in what we would know as the Passover festival, right? They were commanded from the time of Moses all the way down through the time of Jesus. They were commanded that they were to observe that. It was a yearly feast for them. Every year they were to gather. They were to bring a lamb in their home. They were to sacrifice that lamb. They were to eat that lamb. And all of that was a picture. It was symbolic of the fact of what God did in the Old Testament for the children of Israel, that when they lived in Egypt, when they lived in slavery, then the scripture says that they were delivered out of the bonds of slavery, and they were going to the promised land. God had promised them a new place with freedom. And so he commanded them every year on the 14th day of the first month, remember that they were to observe that. And they remembered the fact that they were delivered out of that land of slavery and how the Lord blessed them. That's the context of the Lord's Supper. It was there when Jesus was with his disciples, and we believe that he would have taken the opportunity to be the head of the family. And in the Jewish times, what they would do is that they would have the father, the head of the family, and he would read the story of the Passover. And it became an opportunity for the father to instill and to train and to teach his children about the Passover, right? So Jesus would have taken that opportunity. But there's two things about the Passover that Jesus then uses to transition from that last Passover into the first Lord's Supper. And what was it? There were two things. Number one, there was the unleavened bread, and then there was a glass of wine that Jesus then chose to bring about the fact that the unleavened bread would represent his body, and then the wine would represent his blood that was shed. Now, friends, isn't it kind of special or kind of ironic to think about that Jesus did not at that moment reach into the pot where the lamb was had been stewing, and Jesus didn't reach in and grab a piece of lamb out and hand it to the disciples and say, hey, remember me. Remember that I'm the Lamb of God. And this morning as we gather at the Lord's table, we don't eat lamb, but we are doing the very things that Jesus told us to do, and that is to take the unleavened bread that would represent his perfect life, and then what we're going to do with the grape juice to represent then his blood that was given then for our sins. Now I want to spend just a moment and remind us of things, right? This is just a reminder, and to put life in perspective. There's all kinds of things that we're thinking about even now, right? Our minds, we're going to do this or that and the other. We have heavy hearts, our lives are burdened. But friends, it comes down in the very essence of our lives, the very most important thing of our life is what this represents to us today. It represents the perfect body of the Lord Jesus Christ. It represents his precious blood, his sinless life that was given for us upon the cross of Calvary. That we understand that the Bible teaches us that we were all in our father Adam. That Adam, that man that God had created in the very beginning of the Garden of Eden, that first man and first woman, right? That they had a paradise and God had done so much and given them so many provisions in the garden and told them not to eat of the fruit in the middle of the garden, right? And Adam and Eve chose to do their will rather than God's will. And when they did that, sin entered their life. And because we were all in the seed of Adam, then every child that has come down through the corridors of time, remember that we have a sin nature. We have a nature. There's something in me that I want to sin, that I want to do wrong, that I want to rebel. And friends, that is in our very being. So the question is, how in the world can I, in my sinfulness, in my rebellion, how can I ever stand in the presence of a holy God? The Bible teaches us that God is holy. The Bible says that God is light, right? And I was sharing in Sunday school this morning the idea that, friends, I don't have any kind of experience in my life that I could say, look, here's what the holiness of God means. I can read about it in the Bible. I can think about it in words on the page, but I have no kind of experience at all because I've never experienced anything of holiness, the very being of holiness. I've never had that experience. I have met good people. I have met bad people, and everyone in between. But I've never, ever had the experience of being in the presence of a holy God. But I realize that because we are eternal by our very nature, that we're going to live in eternity somewhere one day after death comes in this physical body, and we're going to step into eternity one day, and therefore, how in the world will we ever stand and experience what it is like to live in the presence of one that he is holy? And what is the answer to that? How do we do that? How do we prepare our hearts to do that? We do that because Jesus, the Son of the living God, chose to come into the world and to take our place and to take our punishment upon the cross of Calvary. And therefore, that our lives can be different, that I can be born again, that my life can be saved, that my life can be changed. And therefore, when I die one day physically, that I will stand in the presence of a holy God based upon the righteousness that only Jesus then can give to us. That's what this reminds me of today, the fact of what Jesus then did for us. I'll give you a few other thoughts here as I work through some of these passages. And I would ask you to read along with me or follow along as I read some of these passages. I want to, first of all, as we prepare to meet the Lord at his table today, I first of all want to go back to some of the words of Jesus. And I want to focus upon the emphasis that Jesus made about his first coming. There's some things that Jesus said that would happen the first time he came, and then there's some words, there's some scriptures that gives us an understanding about his second coming, and the Lord's Supper is a reminder of that. Jesus said, in the scripture I opened with this morning in Mark, Jesus said, I will not eat or drink again until I do that anew with you in the kingdom of God. And so there's some things about his first coming, and there's some things about his second coming, and the Lord's Supper then helps us, it reminds us then of those truths. Now I'm going to begin here out of John chapter 6 and verse number 43. John 6, 43 and following. And the emphasis here is upon the first coming of Jesus Christ. He came 2,000 years ago to do something. And what did he do? He came to be lifted up, and he came to give his life in a substitute for the sins then of us all. Verse 43, John 6, 43. Jesus answered them. He says, stop complaining among yourselves. For no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. And so I will raise him up on the last day. And it is written in the book of prophets, they will all at that be taught by God. Everyone who has listened to, everyone who's listened and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except the one who is from God, and he has seen the Father. Jesus said, I assure you that anyone who believes has eternal life. Jesus said, I am the bread of life, and your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. And this is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that anyone may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. The bread that I give to him is life of the world in my flesh. At this, the Jews started arguing among themselves, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? And then Jesus said in verse 53, I assure you that unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in yourselves. Anyone who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day, because my flesh is real food and my blood is real drink. The one who eats my flesh and drinks my blood lives in me and I in him. Just as the living Father sent me, I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. And this is the bread that came down from heaven. It is not like the manna your fathers ate and they died. The one who eats this bread then will live forever. And he said these things while teaching in the synagogue of Capernaum. And verse number 60 says, therefore, many of the disciples, when they heard this, they said, this teaching is hard, and who can accept it? And then later on, many turned away from the Lord. Friends, what does Jesus mean here when he talks about the bread from heaven? And what does Jesus mean when he says that we must eat his flesh and drink his blood? Now that sounds pretty rough, right? I mean, these people that heard him speak to that, they turned around. They said, this is so hard. Is Jesus asking us to literally eat his flesh and to drink his blood? Well, you know the answer to that is absolutely not. No, right? He's not asking us to do that. It is from that spiritual understanding. Friends, to eat the flesh of Christ, to drink the blood of Christ, then is to believe in who he is. Who is Jesus? Who is he? He was the one who was with the Father in the beginning. He was the one who came into the world, who was conceived in the virgin's womb, who had a natural birth, who grew up in a natural way, in a very natural family, very common family. And yet at the age of 30 years old, he started a ministry that lasted 3 years. And it was in those 3 years of his life, he revealed to them, to those disciples, that he was more than a man, but that he was God. And he came to the point at the end of that 3 years where he died upon Calvary. He died upon the cross, not for his own sin, but for the sins of many. Friends, that's what it means to eat the flesh of Christ, to drink his blood. that we understand clearly what these things would represent in our lives. It's not about religion. It's not about being good. It's not about trying to manage our lives and one day that when I get before God, He's going to put all of my good and bad together. It's going to be in a balance. And if my good outweighs my bad, then He will welcome me into the presence of God. That is nonsense. Friends, we come to a point that we realize what our salvation is based upon. It is based only upon the body of Christ and the blood that was shed upon Calvary's cross for us, that He was God in the flesh and He was willing to take that place for us. And when Jesus said, as often as you do this in remembrance of me, remember that, it helps keeps everything in my life in perspective to this life. I want to turn over also in John, if you're following, a few chapters in John chapter 8, Gospel of John chapter 8. And let me pick up a word here. John chapter 8 and verse number 27. Jesus says, and they did not know He was speaking to them about the Father. So Jesus said that when you lift up the Son of Man, and then you will know that I am He, and that I do nothing of my own, but just as the Father taught me, and I say these things, the one who sent me is with me, and He has not left me alone, because I always do what pleases Him. Friends, notice the emphasis here of what Jesus says. Jesus, His first emphasis of coming into this life the first time was that of dying on the cross of Calvary. Friends, there's no way around it. Jesus said, as you lift me up, as you put me upon the cross of Calvary, right, that it may seem like to those early disciples that He was all alone. Because you remember, the Bible says that once the shepherd was stricken, that all of the sheep then would scatter. And what Jesus is saying, look, it may look like no one's around me, but remember that the Father is still with me. Jesus has a strong emphasis on His first coming, and that was to be lifted up and to put upon that cross of Calvary. And friends, we are reminded of that today as we gather here at the table of our Lord. Same gospel, John chapter 12. John chapter 12, and I want to pick up reading in verse number 24. Just kind of getting us into the mindset of gathering at the table of the Lord today. Where should our emphases be? Where should our focus be? On Jesus, right? That He came the first time to give His life for us. He came to be lifted up, that He can draw us unto Himself. Here in John chapter 12 and verse 24, Jesus said that I assure you that unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains by itself. But if it dies, it produces a large crop. The one who loves his life will lose it, and the one who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must follow me, and where I am, there my servant also will be. And anyone who serves me, the Father then will honor him. Now my soul is troubled, and what should I say? Father, save me from this hour. But that is why I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. And then a voice came from heaven. I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. The crowd standing there heard it, and they said it was thunder. And others said it was an angel who spoke to him. And Jesus responded, the voice came not for me, but for you. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. And as for me, as I have been lifted up from the earth, that I will draw all people then unto myself. Friends, Jesus is the grain of wheat that has fell to the ground and has died. Friends, we understand what happens when a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, right? Germinates, it plants, it grows. There's a whole different dimension of what that grain of wheat looked like. And it produces a whole bunch of other little grains of wheat That whole tassel, right? That whole head of grain comes out. And friends, down through the corridors of time and the history of time, there's been Christian people just like us who God has called out of the world and has prepared us for eternity by coming to us and revealing to us who His Son really is. I'm almost finished with these scriptures, but I want to emphasize real quickly the other side of the Lord's Supper. I'm going to read out of Matthew chapter 16, if you want to follow there, and I'll give you a little time to find this passage. Matthew 16 and verse number 24. Friends, Matthew 16, 24. So everything basically that I've said up to this moment, we have been looking back. We've gone all the way back to Moses and the first Passover meal, right? We've looked at the very words of Jesus. Why did He come the first time? Did Jesus come in His first coming to set up His kingdom on the earth? Well, no. If He had, then the kingdom would be here, right? No doubt, not about. He came to be lifted up. He came as the sacrifice. He came as the Lamb of God to give His life then for the world and for people then that could have a relationship with the Lord and that one day we could stand in His presence. But there's another side. Not only do we want to look back today, but friends, we want to look ahead today. Notice in the words of Jesus here in Matthew chapter 16, verse number 24, He says that when Jesus said to His disciples, "If anyone wants to come to Me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow Me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life because of Me will find it. And what benefit a man if he could gain the whole world and yet lose his life? Or what will a man give in exchange for his life? For the Son of Man is going to come with His angels in glory to the glory of His Father, and then He will reward each one according to what he has done. And I assure you, there are those standing here who will not taste death until they see the Son of Man coming in here in His kingdom." Notice the promise that Jesus makes as we look forward. Jesus said, as He stood there among the disciples of that day, He said that the Son of Man is going to come. Friends, there's a time, not far, in my opinion, from where we are now, that Jesus Christ will return back to this earth. And the Bible says that when He returns, that there will be the angels of heaven will come with Him, and the glory of the Father will come with Him as well, the glory of the Father, and He's coming to reward us for the things that we've done. Now, friends, oftentimes we think of rewards and we think of salvation. Friends, if I just live a good life, if I do everything that the Bible tells me to do, then I know that one day I will be rewarded with eternal life. And friends, we understand clearly that eternal life is never a reward. Eternal life, salvation, is a gift that God offers. And He offers that through His Son. He offers that through the perfect body that died upon Calvary's cross, the perfect sinless blood that was shed upon Calvary's cross for sin, right? And yet Jesus says, "Look, I'm coming again." And yet I think that all of us here this morning, we would say something's up, something's not right in our culture. Something's not right in this world. And friends, what is not right is the fact that the Lord is preparing this world for His second coming and for this glory here that Jesus has mentioned. I want to read one more and then we will have a time of prayer. Over in Matthew chapter 24, in verse 21, Matthew chapter 24 and verse number 27, remember that we look back and now we're looking ahead. Matthew 24 and verse 27. Jesus said, "For as the lightning comes from the east and flashes as far as to the west, so will be the coming of the Son of Man, that wherever the carcass is, there the vultures then will be gathered." So again, Jesus is saying that they're coming the day when He's coming again. Friends, we are reminded of that here this morning when we gather at the table of the Lord to be reminded of the Passover, to be reminded of Jesus being lifted up in all of his perfection, doing for us what we could never do for ourselves, and that is to offer us his amazing grace, his amazing forgiveness, and to prepare us then for his soon arrival. Jesus is coming back. Friends, no matter what happens in life, no matter what is the next big event that goes on in this culture and in this world, we still know, we still believe that God is on his throne and that he is sovereign. This morning, we're going to gather and we're going to celebrate the Supper of the Lord. And a few weeks back, I went through some scriptures that are very important, and I shared with us the importance of gathering at the table of the Lord, right? We don't add this to our service. We don't have a Bible lesson and then say, oh yeah, on the way out, go by and get some bread and some juice, right? We don't do that. There's something that is very, very important in what we do here because we're honoring the Lord. Friends, we're worshiping God when we gather at his table, and we are reminded of how we have a relationship with him by his body that was given, by his blood that was shed. And so here's what we need to examine in this moment of a prayer, what Paul says, therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner is guilty of sin against the body and the blood of Christ. So a man should examine himself in this way. He should not eat the bread or drink from the cup, for whoever eats and drinks without recognizing the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many are sick and ill among you, and many have fallen asleep. For if we properly evaluate ourselves, we will not be judged. But when we are judged, we are being disciplined by the Lord so that we will not be condemned along with the world. Here's what I think Paul means. I think that in a moment of time that we should allow the Spirit of God to do his work, and that we should examine a self-evaluation, a self-examination of our own life. What does that mean? Friends, it means that I don't look at myself and say, good job. You know, I'm a good person. I'm better today because I came to church. I'm better today because of something that I've done. No, friends, the emphasis on the supper is always on the Lord. It's never upon ourselves. And we have to realize what Jesus did for us, right? What did he do for us? He died upon Calvary's cross. He shed his blood in order for us to be forgiven and for us to be able to stand in the presence of God one day. A self-evaluation. Lord, I am a sinner, right? I am a sinner. Lord, I've done wrong. You died for me, Jesus, when you died upon the cross of Calvary, and I want to confess that, and I want to get that right. And we invite everyone here this morning to gather at the table of the Lord, and I'm going to stop here and just have a prayer. I'll pray in a moment, but I want you to ask God's Spirit to examine your hearts this morning before we partake. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come into your presence in the name of your Son, Jesus, and by the power of your Holy Spirit. And Father, we come before you today to have a time of self-evaluation of ourselves. Lord, I confess to you, and you know my heart. Lord, I'm a sinner, and that I've done wrong. And I sin, Lord, and I need forgiveness. I need what Jesus had accomplished for me 2,000 years ago when you sent your Son from heaven to the earth and he died upon Calvary's cross for my sins. Lord, I thank you today that I'm able to celebrate what the supper means. Lord, as I think about all that Jesus has done in the past by being lifted up, and Lord, the anticipation of the future that one day your Son is coming back to this earth And what great rejoicing that we have as we think about living in your presence for eternity based upon what Jesus accomplished upon Calvary's cross. Lord, bless us, prepare us now as we celebrate as a church body, as a family, together around your table. And we pray and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Would our men, our deacons come and serve this morning? Christ in what Paul mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. He said, on that night when Jesus was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took bread and he gave thanks. He broke it and he said, this is my body, which is for you. And then he says, do this in remembrance of me. Phil, would you lead us in prayer?
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this time that we get to come and do this in remembrance of you, Lord, and share in the Lord's Supper, Lord. And I just pray that we give all of our love and attention to you no matter what, Lord. Sometimes in our lives we tend to put you on the second
think about gathering at the table of the Lord today, we're reminded of his death, burial, and resurrection. The scripture says, in the same way, after supper, he took the cup and he said, "This cup is the new covenant established in my blood." And he said, "Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Brad, would you pray for us?
Lord, thank you so much for allowing us to come into your house this morning. Thank you, Lord, for the sacrifice that your son made so many years ago. And Lord, I just pray we would never, ever minimize that sacrifice. Mm-hmm. May we never forget the importance of the blood. May we never forget the importance of the body. May we never forget the importance of the cross. And Lord, I just pray as we go out today that we would remember the sacrifice that was made so that we might have eternal life. Thank you, Father, for our church. Thank you, Lord, for our pastor. Thank you, Lord, that we live in the greatest country in the world and you have blessed us beyond measure. Forgive us, Father, where we fail you. And in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Terry's going to come here in just a moment and lead us in a closing hymn. Those early disciples remember Jesus when he left the upper room, that they went out and they sang a hymn. I want to say just a few words before we do that. Tonight is one of our great outreach opportunities, our trunk or treat. And so we've done this for several years, and the community really turns out and so forth. And we have loads of candy and loads of hot dogs and so forth. So we hope you'll come back and participate in that. Set your trunk open in the parking lot and give out candy, meet the community, and do the things that we're going to do. It'll be a great time for us outreaching and also for the community as well. Just a quick note, our building committee is going to meet today, if we can, around 4 o'clock. And just a quick note on all of those things. The buyer still is very interested in our property and so forth, and the buyer did a presentation to the city of Bixby along with some other developers and trying to develop, maybe not directly related to us but indirectly, and so some of those things are just, the contract ended on Friday the 29th and so forth, but just, you know, the Lord reminded me that when I first surrendered to preach, one of my first lessons I had to learn was patience. And 2 years later, finally God opened a little church up for me to pastor, and he reminded me of that then again this week. Patience, wait on me. And we're going to wait on the Lord. I hope that, that we just constantly look to him, and the Lord is going to make this happen in his own time and his own way. So keep praying for each other. Thank you for your support and your understanding and the great opportunity that we've had to gather here this morning at his table. Terry?
You want to stand with me while we sing this? Blessed be the tithe. Blessed be the tithe that binds. Dismissed.